Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. The easiest way to connect with us from right where you are is by downloading our free Real Life Community app from your App Store. You can also find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
It's good to hear you all talking with one another. Have a little Mr. Rogers moment right here. This morning, as I was praying with the band before service, I just had this sense, I want to preach with my shoes off today. And it's my last sermon, so I'm going to. It's kind of one of those, always wanted to preach just barefoot, you know? And so I had that thought, and then the more I thought about it, the more I thought how fitting it is because of how I feel about this ground right here. And what a gift it's been to be able to stand in this place and proclaim the gospel from it. This is holy ground. And the reality is, I think that wherever the gospel is proclaimed and the name of Jesus is lifted up, that place is holy ground. And it's not just this place right here, but it's all of this place, and every time that we're gathered together and living in the name of Jesus, this becomes holy ground. So I'm preaching with my shoes off. Deal with it, right? I want to start out this morning with a scripture from Genesis chapter 2. You all know how much I love the early chapters of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." Other translations say to care for it, to nurture it, to tend to it. I've had this verse running through my mind a lot, just thinking about my own experience here over the past 11 years. There's this this old movie with Tom Cruise, Renee Zellweger. You know which one I'm talking about. And if you haven't seen it, probably don't watch it. But it's this story where Tom Cruise is dating Renee Zellweger's character, and he's a total jerk, dirtbag, and eventually gets kicked out. And then he finds himself somehow. Cuba Gooding Jr. helps him out, and then he makes his way back to Renee Zellweger. And there's the famous scene from the movie where he makes the speech. Right? And he says, "Hello." And then he goes off into this big, long apology about how horrible of a person he's been and how he's going to promise to do and be better and things. And then I think the way I remember it, he says to her, "Don't you have anything to say?" And the camera cuts over to her, and she's sitting there weeping. And she says, "You had me at hello." And this is sort of how Ashley and I feel about you. Let me talk about that for just a minute, about why I say that. You had us at hello. Because if you rewind 11 years, Ashley and I, the first time when we had showed up, not at this building, but in the strip mall over at 855 West College Street, behind Bell Jewelers in the corner of the strip mall, across from the skate center. You remember how we had to try and tell people how to get there? It was like 12 different directions. We used to joke and say, if you can find us, you can worship with us. And here we are now on Main Street, right across from the university that everybody thinks is a playground or a daycare center or whatever. But we're a church. Anyway, so 11 years ago, we walk into this place, Ashley and I was 29, Ashley's 28. I mean, we were babies. And we come in with a 2-year-old Anna and a 6-month-old Gray. And we came in for our interview, right? And so I came in, and I had the flu that day. I had to preach my tryout sermon with the flu. And I remember that morning standing there and preaching about Moses and the burning bush. And so I just thought this morning, it's really funny that here I am standing on holy ground barefoot and thinking back to that day. And I preached about Moses and the burning bush while my head was on fire with the flu and got done with that. And Ashley and I just had this sense in that moment as we experienced that service. I still remember sitting over on the left side, second row of tables and thinking, this church was made for us. It's like the perfect place for us to be. There was a rock band on the stage and everybody was wearing jeans and and there was in a strip mall and they were meeting around tables, circle tables. So like the community aspect and the fellowship was like a really big deal. And we just thought, oh man, this is an incredible place. And as we picked up kind of the feel of the place, we just sensed that this was a church that understood what it meant to be on a mission from God, a mission towards lost people, to people who felt like they were a long way off from God, a church that was ready and excited and willing and was here for the sole purpose, really, of welcoming these folks home and inviting them into the kingdom of God to share life together. And it was this beautiful thing, but there was this one moment, our you had me at hello moment actually happened when after the service, when Ashley and I were standing off to the side and we were all by ourselves. Here we are, this brand new couple, they're trying out for ministry, they're interviewing us and things like that. But we were standing by ourselves, nobody was talking to us in this one moment, but it was because there was another new family there that day. And so this blesses a pastor's heart like you don't even know. As a pastor, I'm like, I could care less if anybody ever talks to me. But if there's a new family or a new person that shows up in the church, I want to see that church love on those people and embrace those people. And sure enough, this family had come, and it turned out to be Brian and Hillary Holmes and their family. It was the first day that our first day, and everybody's over ignoring us, and the whole church was gathered around the Holmes family, embracing them and welcoming them, probably apologizing for the sermon they just heard. And, you know, like just, and Ashley and I sat back there and we thought, this church, they get it. They get it. You had us at hello from the first day. And what we found out later on as we went throughout the course of that day and interviewed and tried to hold it together with the flu and all that kind of stuff was, and then later on that day, received a call from the church to come and serve as the pastor. And we recognized early on at the very beginning that we were being invited into a good and beautiful garden that was already bearing such good fruit. And it was like they opened their arms up to us. You opened your arms up to us and said, come and join all of this good work that's happening. And we recognized early on that there was a good and beautiful garden bearing good and wonderful fruit before we ever got here. And we were invited into it. And it's been this incredible gift for us. Over the first few months, we got to know several of the originals, at least to us, who were here. We got to know the Williams, both sets of the Williams. Good to have you guys back this morning. We got to know the Golsons and the Garbisons and the Nysons and the Fielders and all sorts of folks who were here at the beginning who, you guys might not realize this, or not, or maybe you do, but who had been cultivating and tending to this good garden of people, this good local church body, without a full-time pastor for a year before we got here. There was, in the year before we got here, it was really a community and team effort. There was a couple of part-time pastors who were helping and preaching and running things, but for the most part, from what I understand, it was a group-wide, community-wide effort of everybody having their sleeves rolled up and their hands dirty and just doing life together. And we got to know a lot of these folks and got to see the story, hear the stories and see the work of what it looked like for a small little local church to work out what it means to be kind of an Acts 2 kind of community where everybody's sharing life together and meeting together on a regular basis and praising and glorifying God with glad and sincere hearts and sharing their possessions in common and giving to anybody who had need and enjoying the favor of all the people, all these kinds of things. This is what the church was. I remember a couple of weeks, months maybe after we had first gotten here, that there was a single disabled woman in our congregation whose transportation had gone out on her. and didn't have any way to get around. And I remember somebody coming up to me and says, you know, we should probably buy her a van, like a handicap van, a handicap accessible van too. It was like, you know, and I thought, now coming from like a larger church in Michigan, we just didn't do that kind of stuff. Like what if one person needs something like that, like then everybody's going to come and asking for cars. And so my pastor's thought at the moment was, well, maybe we could like pray for this need, you know? And they were like, no, let's just pool our resources together and buy a van. And sure enough, they did. And I remember sitting back there thinking, this is incredible. Oh my goodness. And that kind of stuff happened on a pretty regular basis where the church was just collectively together and sharing with one another. And then I got to watch as Kingdom of God life started springing up in all these different places, Angel Tree ministries and food pantry ministries, food distribution things, and work with jail ministries. And Narcotics Anonymous started opening the doors to this group that came in and began growing and having a wonderful ministry to our community, and then regularly seeing what it looked like for a church to welcome lost people home. We got to baptize almost 100 people in the past 10 years out of this little church. We got to welcome lots of people into the family of God. We got to watch these incredible days of growth and discipleship happen in so many lives. And then one of the early things that I remember and appreciated so much was spending time working on our vision plan in that maybe first or second year that we were here. And just kind of helping facilitate that process and watching the hearts of the people on this vision team say, you know what, we don't feel like God is calling us to be a big famous mega church or anything. But you know what we want to do? We want to share ourselves with other neighborhoods and places in Murfreesboro. And so as we grow, we'd like to just peel pieces of our community off and just like gift it out to other neighborhoods and share ourselves with others. And that development of that vision plan became a real central part of my whole philosophy of church ministry, of working through that. And you taught me this. We got to develop in the past few years, these partnerships with Sister Nazarene churches for group work around the city, and spun off several different ministers of worship leaders to different states, and pastors to different places, and missionaries to three different countries, and church planters to Hawaii and across town. And speaking of that church plant, guys, the most beautiful couple years of my 17 years as a pastor was watching a church say, we don't have to hang on to anything. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. And there was this philosophy of ministry that kind of developed around that early vision plan and kind of sprung into life. I started asking this question at our board meetings and things that I wanted to help direct our church that said, we asked this question, what would it look like if a church stopped making decisions based on its own survival and started giving itself away in love instead, and just trusted God with what would happen. Now, a lot of churches, guys, if the pastor would ask that, they'd run you right out of town. No, that's not it. No, we need to keep our thing going. We need to survive. That's not what we called you here for you to give us all away. And this church just welcomed that and put it into practice. And we've seen it over and over and over again where the church just lives with this open-handedness. And so I've been asking this question for a while. What would it look like if a church stopped making decisions based on its own survival and started instead giving itself away in love? And do you know what the answer to that question is? It looks like you. It looks like you. And you are beautiful. Beautiful. We got this, Ashley and I and our family, this incredible privilege of sharing in these and countless other stories and experiences as we rolled up our sleeves and began to get busy in the work of the kingdom life and ministry with you. We were planting and we were watering and we were weeding and harvesting in the garden that we had been placed in, doing our best to be good stewards of the great gift of this place and this church family. Recognizing that the good and beautiful community existed before we came, we wanted to treat it well, to cultivate it and to care for it so that it would be able to be shared and experienced by others. I think This is a part of what stewardship means. And honestly, this has been kind of the driving word in my mind as I've been preparing for this message, is this concept of stewardship, which is essentially recognizing that what we have been given doesn't belong to us. And it won't be ours forever, but while it's in our hands, we're called to be faithful with it, to cultivate it, to tend to it, to care for it, to nurture it, to help it to grow in all of the faithful ways that we can, that we're able to do. There's this passage of scripture that's been in my mind along these lines from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let me set it up for you real quick. Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthians are having this little spout about, you know, this little argument about people that have different allegiances to the different preachers that have been there leading them, right? So some people are like, Paul, nobody can preach like you can preach, or nobody can plant a church like you can plant. And other people are like, you know, I think Apollos was better when he came along. And so they're kind of in Apollos' camp, and they're having this little bickering fight back and forth. And Paul comes to this argument, this disagreement, and he says, look, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. Now, I left off a verse off of this slide, but it's really important. So let me skip ahead to verse 9 and read it to you. For we are God's fellow workers. And you are God's field, God's building. Now, there are all sorts of lessons to take away from a few verses like this. I think the first one that I wanted to talk about for a second is that there is important work to do. That when God puts you in a garden like he's put you in this one, there's work to do. The garden doesn't just care for itself, and it doesn't just happen in the quietness of our own hearts or our own thoughts or minds or spirits. It requires rolled up sleeves and sometimes dirt under your fingernails. There is planting and watering and weeding and harvesting and walking among the garden and taking joy in all of the things that you get to experience. All of this goes into what it means to stewarding the gift that you've been given when you're placed into a good and beautiful community like the one that you've been placed in. But there is work to do in it. And we are partners with God in this work. Now just let that sink in for just a moment. I'm so sorry I left it off of the slides, but we are God's fellow workers. When you think about when God placed Adam in the garden to cultivate it and to keep it, did God place Adam in the garden and then leave? No, the story goes that God placed Adam in the garden and then walked with him through the garden. In the cool of the day, that this garden that God was busy working and creating, then hand in hand with Adam and Eve, he gives them the work to tend to it and to cultivate it. We are partners with the creator of heaven and earth in this work. Oh, guys, this is a privilege and an honor. But even though we are partners with God in this work, it's important that none of us should see ourselves or anyone else as the main thing in it. It's not ultimately about Paul. It's not ultimately about Apollos or any of the other rock star ministers that they had come through the Corinthian church. It wasn't ultimately about any of those things, because those people, because the results and the growth and the field itself belongs to God. And I think this is a helpful way to think about life in general. Guys, you guys will have gifts and things that pass through your hands and come for seasons of life. All through the course of your life, there will be seasons and chapters that open and chapters that close and new relationships that start and new journeys and forks in the road that take you all sorts of different places. And this is a good way to think about life in general, that as God places you in a place or in a relationship or in a church family or places something in your hands to care for, that you are called to steward it well, to be faithful with that gift. So in general, I think this is a good life lesson, but in particular, it's even more important when it comes to your stewardship of the kingdom of God that exists in a local church. You have been given a great gift of one another, of this place, this community. It's a special place. It's always been a special place since it got started. It will be a special place a long time from now. And you've been called to steward it. You've invited Ashley and I in for this little season, and we've walked this little fork in the road and this little journey and this season, and we've tried to steward it along with you and cultivate it along with you. And we've watched wonderful, beautiful things grow in this season, and it's been a joy. But this is our job. This is our role. This is our work to do in our time here on earth, not just here in this local church, but with the kingdom of heaven that's coming among us. That God gives you work to do, to steward this particular time and place that's given to us, to be faithful in that work, and then to trust God with the results, recognizing that the kingdom of God was here before we were born, and it will be here after we're gone. We get a season. We get a season. And the world that we live in may not know how to voice this, but the world that we live in needs you to steward this gift well. It needs you for this. Again, they might not be able to find words for it, but the world needs it because we live in a world full of neighborhoods that have real quickly, hard and fast, kind of are opening up to a way of living that doesn't have at the center the things that we were created for as human beings and human communities, the love of God and the love of neighbor. We live in a world where these two things don't matter as much or aren't as central anymore as they used to be. And then we experience the myriad of unintended consequences of what happens when you take these two great commandments and move them off to the side. But in all these little neighborhoods around the world, there are these families and communities of faith that have covenanted together and chosen to live with these commandments right in the center of who we are. That we choose to love God and to love neighbor and have the name of Jesus lifted up among us. And in that way, we become these gifts that God gives to the neighborhoods that we live in. So this place is a gift to us, and it's a gift for us to be able to stand in it, to experience life in it. But you know the old scripture, the old promise that God gave Abram, I will bless you. Why? So that you will be a blessing. God gives us the gift so that we can in turn share it with others. To practice the kingdom here as a gift to the neighborhood and the world that we live in. Of course, this doesn't mean that we always get it right, and we don't claim to. In the church, a lot of times we need more grace than any other place, and we expect that of one another, that we will give it to one another. But my experience has been that the local church, and this one in particular, is a blessing and a gift just the same. And it's when it's really tuned in, there's nothing quite like it in the world. You are God's gift to the neighborhood and to the city. And in, like, if you extend that on out, as a part of all of the local churches that are scattered in neighborhoods around the world, you are in connection with them, in a way, God's gift to the world. Now, I know that's usually a burn. What do you think you are, God's gift to the world, you know? Listen, and I don't think I'm being too dramatic here in saying this. You are. You are. In partnership with all of these other local neighborhood churches around the world, you are God's plan for gifting himself and his life to the world. And whether you believe that or not, I need you to believe at least this, that you have been, for the last 11 years, God's gift to us and to our family. And so, I want to say a few final words to you as your pastor this morning. I want to ask you some things, but honestly, I tried to write that sentence. I want to ask a few things of you as your pastor. I had trouble writing that because of the word ask there. Because the reality is, I want to do more than ask. You know, I don't stand in this like pastoral role very often, you know, and speak with an old pastor voice. But I want to today. And ask just doesn't quite get to the authority that I want to stand in right now. And so I went searching my mental thesaurus and for synonyms and in the Bible, and I've got lots of language that's available to me, I want you to know, okay? I could go with, instead of ask, I could go with like exhort, you know? That's a good biblical word right there. I could go with admonish. That sounds a little angry. I could go with command, because that's a thing that pastors get to do. But that sounded a little authoritative. I could slide into some of my old language, and maybe you guys have noticed this, that I like to invite you, or I like to encourage you. Have you noticed that at the end of my messages, I'll invite you, I'll encourage you. But those just didn't seem strong enough. And then I found this word, call. And this is how our relationship began. Because a local church doesn't invite a pastor, doesn't encourage a pastor, doesn't admonish or exhort a pastor, doesn't command a pastor to come, although I would have obeyed, I promise. A local church calls a pastor. And when a pastor is called, there's a level of a sense that the Spirit is behind this move. And so that's how this began. You called us. And so we've lived with that call and tried to be faithful to that call for 11 years. Now I want to give it back to you. Here's the call that I want to call you to. And then I'm going to expound on it with lots of other words. I want to call you as your pastor to steward the gift of real life community well. Steward it well. This is a special, unique kind of church family. Care for it. Cultivate it. Tend to it. Keep it. Now let me expound on this for a minute. I don't want you to steward this gift in a way where you feel like you have to protect it or hold on to it or make sure it survives. We laid that kind of stuff down a long time ago, probably before the church ever even got planted. God takes care of those things. It's God who makes it grow, God who sees to the fruit, God who tends to it because it belongs to God. So it doesn't belong to us. We can't squeeze the life out of it or hold on to it, but steward it in a way where you're open-handed and generous and like it's a gift meant to be given kind of way. put your hands to the plows here. Reach into your pockets and grab the seeds of the kingdom and scatter them everywhere you go. Water the ground. Prune the plants. Pull the weeds. Harvest the fruit when it's ripe. And never forget to take lots of walks through the garden and enjoy the beauty of it as the Lord walks with you in the cool of the day, or the heat of the afternoon, or the dark of the night, or the early morning coffee hours. Whenever it is, enjoy the gift. Steward it by showing up. And I mean that very literally. I want you to know that. Like with your bodies, like May 5th at 10 o'clock. Bring your bodies here next week. Be here on a weekly basis through the summer. Your church family needs you this summer. If you are not out of town, be here. Serve in ministry. Many of you already are incredible servants. Some of you haven't found your way quite into a ministry area yet, and I want to invite you to do that. Sierra would love to talk with you after the service about kids ministry. Brandy would love to talk with you about hospitality. Like, there are plenty of places for you to serve, to roll up your sleeves and get to the work of doing the work of kingdom life together. I want to call you to give. And by that, I mean tithe. Take 10% of your income that God has gifted to you and learn to practice what it means to live with open hands and return it to Him. And then this summer, maybe God calls you to give above and beyond that because you love the garden so much, and that would be a beautiful way to steward what He's given you. Pray. Share your time and your gifts and your talents and testimonies and your lives with one another. And now I know I've gone long, guys. I'm really sorry. But it's my last Sunday. I'd like to close out with a few verses from Colossians. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing, see there it is, one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He pooped in the middle of that, didn't he? Giving thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Nolan. Let me pray for you this morning. Gracious God, we thank you for these moments that we will never forget. Thank you for this good and beautiful garden that you've placed us in. Thank you for your faithfulness to us over these years, for the many ways that you have taught us what it means to walk with you in this world, to try and be faithful and obedient to you. God, I pray for this community at Real Life, that you would shepherd them and be faithful to them and show your goodness to them, that you'd open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out your blessing on them, measure after measure after measure, until their cup is running over. Do it, Lord. In the name of Jesus.